This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
Two guys have Minnesota sports flowing in their veins. Mackey and Judd on Score North and ScoreNorth.com.
It's a Tuesday scoop session with our guy Darren Doogie Wolfson from the 5 Eyewitness News Sports Department. He's grinding, man. It's cold season. He hasn't slept. He's reporting. He's got Glenn Taylor on the record over here. He's got A-Rod and Mark Laurie on the record over there. So, Duke, by the way, your latest Scoop Pod, you still post some Scoop podcasts on the Scoop podcast feed, too. And, you had all of those guys on the record. Adam Thielen, one of the bigger Scoop podcast episodes that has ever dropped.
Well, I appreciate that, Phil. Yeah, I mean, I do the Scoop as time allows. Yes, I am battling a little bit of a cold, but I will somehow figure out a way to fight through. So, yes, on Monday, Scoop podcast episode 429 posted. Yeah, caught up with Adam Thielen reviewing his first year. Heck, he gave some good insight on Gruger Hill, the new Vikings linebacker. Shaq Griffin, the new Vikings cornerback. He played with both guys in Carolina last year. He was very open about how Justin Jefferson needs to get paid. The Kirk Cousins fallout, him heading to Atlanta, now in the same division as Adam. I sat down with Ben Johnson the other day, so a season wrap-up on the Gophers basketball program, plus looking ahead to what really is the madness of March now that we've flipped the calendar to April, but The madness of March, which is navigating the transfer portal. Then Jordan Reed, my buddy from ESPN draft analyst, just going through all sorts of different scenarios. That's in addition to Glenn, Mark, and Alex. So that is Scoop Podcast episode 429 available right now.
So on the A-Rod, Mark, and Alex thing, you've now had lengthy conversations with all of these people, these billionaires just slinging insults at each other. Where do you want to start, man? Like, what do you make of all of this? Like, in theory, a lot of this should be spelled out in black and white in legal paperwork, but then there's also the NBA Board of Governors step to this. But where do you think all of this sits after these grenades were thrown for 72 hours?
I mean, Judd said it best the other day via text. Documents don't have a bias. Documents don't lie. So I am in the process. I planted a seed on Sunday morning. I get it. It was Easter. I'll give it a day or two, but I have not heard back. But Mark and Alex, when I spoke with them on Friday, extended the olive branch saying, hey, you can speak with our representation. I am hoping to track down all those documents, not just a section. I want to go through all of them. So that is a work in progress. I have not heard back yet. To me, this is going to come down to a third party. This is going to arbitration. It's a case of he said, he said. Glenn Taylor says, I haven't seen the money. The NBA certainly hasn't approved of anything. This has been a wonky process the whole time. Mark and Alex say, we have the money. We are honoring terms of the contract. Glenn is saying, no, you're not honoring terms of the contract. Even if an arbiter says, hey, yes, Mark and Alex, we are siding with you, there still is the hurdle of the NBA ultimately approving this process.
Yeah.
This is me opining. This is not any sort of insight. I don't know what the Board of Governors will ultimately decide if it gets to that point. But Glenn is so tight with so many people in the NBA. I just wonder the gloves came off on Friday, right? Whether it was with me, Dane Moore, with Kyle, right? I mean, Mark and Alex went all in on going at Glenn on Friday. I just have a hard time believing that Glenn is now like not going to have dialogue with all his buddies in the league office, other owners saying, yeah, go ahead and approve them if it gets to that point. This is just the start, though, of what is going to be a lengthy process.
Do we expect to hear from the league here? Because the league is obviously the one unaccounted for entity. Both sides have talked. But like you said, this is not a business transaction. It's not like A-Rod and Laurie are buying a building from Glenn and now there's a debate about it and it goes to a court or it goes to an arbiter. This is the league's entity. So I guess the next question I have before, you know, we get anything official, which will probably take some time, but where's the league? Is the league going to take a stance? Is the league going to talk? And just as importantly, I would guess that what transpired on Friday was frowned upon by the league, because that was airing a lot of dirty laundry that they probably didn't deem necessary to be aired at all publicly.
Correct. I mean, when Alex is saying we are protecting Wolves fans, the fan base, from Glenn Taylor, right? I mean, just everything those guys said, it wasn't just A-Rod, right? It was Mark as well. The things they said on Friday, I agree. I have not heard back from the league. I guess I have a hard time believing, Judd, the league is going to say anything publicly on this, but I don't know that officially. But I'm just saying, think about the longstanding relationship Glenn has with Adam Silver, with others, when thinking if this thing is going to get all the way through to Mark and Alex, saying what they told me on Friday, that they firmly believe in the end they will be majority owners.
You know, it really feels like Mark and Alex have one of the best law firms by all accounts in the country.
It is a great law firm, Phil. In fact, they have a good relationship with the NBA. Robert Sarver, the then Phoenix Suns owner, that law firm was involved with that investigation. So the NBA has a good relationship, a great relationship, is my understanding, with that law firm.
They also, they must have some sort of top PR firm that's helping them kind of lay things up. But one thing that was very striking to me, and again, this is just the PR battle, they seem to understand that fans don't love Glenn Taylor, to say the least. There's a lot of bad feelings about Glenn Taylor. And some of the things they were saying with you, with Dane Moore, with Kyle, in other conversations they've had, it feels like they're looking for things that they can, that they know the buttons to push, and they know how fans feel about Glenn Taylor, and they are looking to win the PR battle first to get fans on their side. Right now, I don't know where this goes, and I don't think the PR battle really matters in this, because ultimately the legal paperwork is going to speak, but they know what they're doing in this public fight.
Yes. I mean, when you cite Kevin Garnett, the fallout from that relationship, when you cite, hey, Glenn wanted nothing to do with the Rudy Gobert trade. Although, how many times have we talked about this? That Glenn, even if he disagrees, allows something to go through. There are so many examples over the years. Heck, going back to 2004, 20 years ago, when KG's like, I need my guy Gary Trent Sr. back. Right? There are so many different things that along the way, Glenn was like, whoa, I don't know about that. Heck, bringing KG back. Right? But Flip said, hey, let me do this. Glenn's like, okay, Flip. Fine. So Glenn voices his opinion, but it's not like he's one of these, you know, hard ass owners that says it's my way or the highway. Glenn over the years has bended plenty. But yeah, the Gobert trade, the Tim Connelly situation, right? Like, how many times did we talk about this, Phil? Yes. Like, if it was Glenn's call, Sachin Gupta gets elevated. Tim was not coming here if it was Glenn Taylor. It was Mark Lowry and to some extent A-Rod, but certainly Mark. We've mentioned this. He drove the bus. They drove the bus on the Tim Connelly hiring, but they reminded everybody on Friday of that. So, yes, they are all about winning the PR battle, but I don't know ultimately if that matters in the end.
You know, what's funny, someone, I had a few conversations on Friday and Saturday with people smarter and much more plugged into the situation from different angles. And one person put it to me that the crazy thing in all of this is it's actually kind of the perfect scenario right now where you've got Grandpa Glenn who's writing the checks. He just is happy to kind of sit back and be rich and write checks and sit courtside and empower Alex and Mark, the minority owners. Yeah, you guys can drive the car. You know, I don't know if I would have done that with Gobert, or I don't know if I would have even had the thought to reach out to Tim Connelly, because people like that don't ordinarily want to work here. But if you guys want to chase the golden goose, go ahead and inject new life into the organization. Like, those guys are kind of the Magic Johnson. Like, Magic Johnson's famous for being a minority owner of all. You know, he owns like a 0.5% share of teams, but he's the front man. He comes in and he helps change cultures. And, you know, it's almost too bad that it couldn't just work out like that for a few years where, yeah, okay, Glenn's going to keep writing checks, but these guys are going to be super hands-on. And they're going to be 30 to 40% owners as well. But now there's no universe where any of this can coexist at all whatsoever. I think there's questions still as to whether, even if they do get the team and it goes through, I've heard reliably that they might not, they'd be sort of house poor NBA owners, because a lot of Mark Lurie's net worth is tied up in the valuation of businesses. He doesn't have $4 billion sitting in a checking account at US Bank, you know? So I don't know, man. This is wild. Like, the way this has played out the last 4 or 5 days is absolutely mind-blowing and incredible. I don't know how much fans even care at this point, because I think they're focused on the games. But the future of the Timberwolves is once again in major question, unfortunately.
Well, yeah, unfortunately. I mean, fans should be focused on the games. Like, think about in the moment on Friday, you know, like how well the Wolves played in Denver. Now, I get it. You know, they couldn't make shots on Sunday against Chicago, so everything they did Friday was almost erased because of the loss to Chicago on Sunday. But yes, it should be a celebration right now. It's been a long time since they've achieved 50 wins. They have a chance to be the one seed in the Western Conference. It is not nuts to suggest that they could make a run. They could be playing in June for an NBA championship. Yet we're talking about this. I hope a lot of fans just worry about what's going on the court, because I can tell you, the players, the coaches, yeah, Mark and Alex said, hey, players have reached out to us. But in the end, the players care. Did my check clear, right? Is my check good, right? And the checks are fine. Coaches, same deal. They're uber focused on the task at hand. So they are not dealing with all this stuff. It does have to be weird for some people we know, though. Ryan Tankey, Ethan Kasson. Think about some of the higher ups in the Wolves organization. How awkward.
Parents are getting divorced right in there.
Yes. I mean, Glenn, at least on Thursday. Now, I reached back out to Glenn on Friday night to say, hey, Glenn, like, here's what Mark and Alex said. Do you want to respond? He did not get back to me. All right. But in the moment on Thursday, he told me, hey, he's willing to work with Mark and Alex, but I'm with you, Phil. Like, I can't see a scenario where these two sides are working, even though Mark and Alex have 36% ownership, right? So if you own 36% of the team, Mark owns a good chunk of that 36. But if you own 36%, yes, it would be nice if they could just keep kind of doing what they're doing, because they deserve credit for so many different things, including Tim Connelly, right? I mean, Tim Connelly has done so much good, especially now the way Gobert has transformed himself from last year to this year, right? That trade doesn't look like a disaster anymore than all the other moves. Kyle Anderson, Mike Conley, all the stuff, right? Like, Tim Connelly is very, very good at what he does. But yeah, we're in this. And I didn't think it would come to what it did on Friday, right? Like, I thought ultimately it would be the Board of Governors. I knew it was a wonky process the whole time, but I just didn't think it would actually get to that point. So I am very, very surprised. All the while, I will note, Glenn Taylor yesterday was at the Mankato basketball celebration. So, hey, kudos to Mankato, for Minnesota State, for winning the men's and women's Division II national championships. So Glenn was there yesterday. He spoke. He needed help coming off the podium. So he told me in early March, he's been dealing with a back issue, some legs issues. He was set for an examination, a two-day examination at Mayo Clinic in mid-March. He told me, hopefully they can figure out what is going on. But in the moment of yesterday, it was a struggle. Like, Glenn had to say into the microphone, Becky, can you help me? Right? This is in front of 1,000 people at the Taylor Center. And he was okay after he sat down. Right? But it's just a reminder. Like, I think deep, deep down, Glenn wanted to find the right person or party to sell the team to, because there's no guarantees he's here when he's even 84 or 85. He's 82 now, right? Just with his health situation, he wanted some sort of legit succession plan put in place. And at this point, who the heck knows what that will look like?
You're listening to a Score North podcast right now, and if you're a business owner, so are your customers. In fact, I could be talking about your business right now, telling the tens of thousands of loyal fans about you and sending them to your business. Find out how you can partner with your favorite Score North podcast. Visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner. Fill out the form, and we'll get in touch with you quickly. Once Phil, Judd, Declan, or others start talking about your company, you'll be amazed at how many fans start showing up. So visit scorenorth.com now and enter keyword partner.
And that now becomes the most important thing, is there a plan? Like, if he's going to hold on to the team and, you know, pass away, unfortunately, at some point here because of his age, is there a plan? Does the family want the team? It sounds like the family does not want the team. I don't think the family is going to try to find, move heaven and earth and turn down $1 billion because you're fearful that the next person, guy or gal or family that comes in might move the team. So like, that's the thing, as juicy as this situation that started Thursday and Friday has become, the real question now is the succession plan. Because players don't care. Coaching staff does not care. Their value is going up, not down. Question is, if Glenn is now taking these teams off the market, and unfortunately in a couple of years he's not here, is there another succession plan? Or does this go to the family, and the family's going to say, we're going to sell this team, and then you basically step into exactly what Glenn Taylor for a long time here was hoping to avoid?
Correct. Now, in the moment, Glenn said on Thursday, hey, the team is no longer for sale. Now, if the right phone call comes in, let's say in June, July, August, to me, there's fluidity to that situation. Yes, right now, Glenn says the team is off the market. But if he retains ultimately majority ownership and he receives the right phone call a few months from now, I would just say let's stay tuned on that. But yes, his health is certainly a thing, right? So ideally, Mark and Alex would have found a way to fully get across the finish line. Now they say they have, right? Now Dial Capital, right? But that's okay. They're approved. You can bring in an equity firm. That's not nuts. Right. It's probably just a reminder that, okay, yes, this was Glenn's idea, but back to 2021, just do what the Charlotte Hornets did last summer, or the Phoenix Suns, or any number of other examples in the last 5 to 10 years, the Dallas Mavericks, right? Just sell, snap of the fingers, right? Mm-hmm. Find a party, multiple people that can cut the check immediately, sell right then and there. Don't draw out a process like this.
Yeah. Is it really that hard to find somebody that would buy this team, or a group that has enough money without a private equity firm, without questions, that would buy this team and keep it in Minnesota? Or does it all come down to the arena situation? I have a hard time thinking the NBA wants to uproot a top 15 market. They'd love to get the expansion fees for Seattle and Vegas and have two extra franchises and keep a franchise in every top 20 to 25 market, right?
That is correct. Although, I would have thought by now we would have news of Vegas, Seattle expansion teams. So I'm trying to figure out what's the weight there. I get it. Yes. In an ideal world, the owners are cashing big checks from expansion fees. I get that. But I do believe Glenn that he's had opportunities, including in the last 18 to 24 months, going back, I guess, to 2021, where he could have sold that individual or that group, would have moved the team to Vegas. It would have cost a lot of money to break the Target Center lease, but it's not ironclad. You can break that lease. It would cost many, many millions of dollars. And yes, there is that question. Ultimately, would the NBA approve of the team moving? I get it, Phil. They want a team in a top 15 market. But I'm just wondering, I'm just wondering, why don't we have official news yet of an expansion franchise coming to Las Vegas?
I think part of this is the reverse. So hockey, because they're desperate for cash, expands. And they've got unhealthy franchises and they don't care. The NFL and the NBA aren't desperate. I think what this does is it leaves leverage, and I think it's genius. I think it leaves you because, if they announce tomorrow Seattle and Vegas are going to get teams, Timberwolves are sort of stuck. You might have a Nashville or something, but it becomes much less of a sexy idea.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah,
I think the genius here is to bolster all of your franchises, and there's not a lot of probably unhealthy ones left, and then do expansion. This to me is a threat, but it's a credible threat, and it's a really, really smart move.
Yeah, I agree with all that. It's a very good point you make, Judd, that there needs to be some leverage in play. Bottom line, Phil, you can tell me if you disagree. I have a hard time believing in the end, even if an arbiter says, okay, that contract. And again, I want to see that contract, all details, not just a tiny section. I want to see all details. Hopefully I get word back before the week is over. certainly fair to give their side, you know, multiple days to get back to me. But I did plant the seed because they told me in the conversation on Friday, hey, we will be transparent. Hey, if you want to speak with our representation, hey, by all means, we will make them available. So why not take them up on that offer? I mean, I think there's still so much more to this story. Judd, we went back and forth via text. I mean, A-Rod recently sold some property in Dakota County. Like, what was the reasoning for that?
Yeah.
You know, is there more there with Mark Lori? Some stuff maybe in his personal life, although that's personal, right? So I don't think that's going to be public record. But back to documents. Documents don't lie, right? And hey, there's probably a lot more with Glenn Taylor as well. This to me would be great for an investigative team to spend multiple weeks just tracking down all the documents they can.
Oh God. Yeah. I think the one thing is that the more I've thought about this, I don't think it gets to court, because if it gets to court, then discovery, because everything is public and the league ain't going to allow that. Like, cause now dudes, everyone, including their private lives, divorces, taxes, everything can be subpoenaed. So,
yeah, and there's some stuff there. You know, both
I think the league's going to try and make this. I think the league is going to try very hard to make this go away. It might get to an arbiter, but the more I thought about it, I don't think it gets to a court case, because then things are exposed that no one in that league, not just the Wolves, wants out there.
Well, I mean, why would it even need to get to a court case, right? Like, an arbiter determines, okay, here's the contract. I mean, it should be pretty simple, black and white, right? Did Mark and Alex honor terms of this contract, or did they not? Is Glenn right, or is Mark and Alex right? And if Mark and Alex are right, then the Board of Governors then needs to either approve or disapprove them becoming majority owners. That's the way this thing should play out. I just think it'll take a while.
Yeah. Let's get to some Viking stuff here after Judd shouts out our friends at Finch Home Solutions.
Absolutely. Look at that fleet of trucks. You know what? That might be live. For all I know, those trucks, that fleet is leaving right now. And guess where they're going? They're going to homes that need help with electrical issues. And I'm talking big and small. I'm talking upgrading current systems, electrical servicing, storm damage, breakers tripping, flickering lights, anything that you might have in your home, Cody Finch and his team can take care of. And there's nothing more important than the safety of your family and your home. Finch Home Solutions is on top of it. Their specials include $199 whole home safety inspection. That value, $357. Indoor lighting, car chargers, whatever you need, Finch Home Solutions is there for you. 612-357-2604. FinchHomeSolutions.com, as you see right on that van. FinchHomeSolutions.com.
Amen. Amen. So we now know the Vikings have had private workouts with J.J. McCarthy. Michael Penix in Seattle has been reported. They spent some time, Jaden Daniels pro day at the very least. So they've been doing their final rounds of investigation and hands-on work with these quarterback prospects. So still have, 3.5 weeks left until the draft here, Doogie, but any sort of steam or intel you're hearing on where the Vikings are at in this whole draft process?
Sure. Well, I mean, there's still some more work to be done on these quarterbacks. They are not done spending time with these quarterbacks. Nothing was set in stone as of yesterday morning. I haven't had a chance to follow up, but the idea is to spend more time with Jaden Daniels. So I noted the idea was after his pro day last week to spend some one-on-one time with him. That never happened. Now, Kevin O'Connell wasn't in Baton Rouge anyway, but the idea is somewhere here along the way before the draft this month, the Vikings will spend time with Jaden Daniels, whether that's a top 30 visit or whether they go to him, to be determined. But I know that's the idea. That was the idea as well with Drake May, whether that's happened already or will be happening. The idea is to spend some one-on-one time with Drake May as well. Jordan Schultz, who does a great job, had the note about Penix.
Yeah.
And Albert Breer had the note about J.J. McCarthy. So those are the four. I've not heard Bo Nix's steam, but certainly on Penix, you have to do your due diligence. I mean, there is a scenario. Yes. Do I think they want to move up, are willing to give up a good amount to move up? I do. But there are no guarantees, right? What if Washington says, okay, Jaden Daniels is our guy. New England says, hey, you know what? J.J. McCarthy is our guy. Arizona says, you know what? We can't move off four because Marvin Harrison Jr. is perhaps the best wide receiver prospect in a really long time. We're not moving off four. I don't care what you want to sell us on the LSU receiver or the Washington receiver. We want Marvin Harrison Jr. Then at five, the Chargers. Okay, you would say, well, that's a logical spot. Drake May's on the board. The Vikings should be able to move up to five. Maybe so. But what if the Chargers say, you know what? We love Joe Alt so much, even though to me he's a left tackle, not a right tackle. But hey, we are bringing in Joe Alt to be our right tackle. We want those two tackles. Jim Harbaugh wants to run, right? Needs to fix that offensive line. What if the Chargers don't bend? They say, okay, we're taking Joe Alt at pick five. Or maybe the LSU receiver, if Harrison goes four, that they don't want to lose out on the LSU or Washington receiver. So the Chargers go offense at five. Mm-hmm. Then the Giants at six, would they take the quarterback? I'm just saying, like, there is a scenario. I don't think it's, like, incredibly far-fetched that the Vikings can't move up. So you better do your due diligence on a guy like Penix. Heck, do you stay at 11? Do you take the Texas defensive lineman Byron Murphy? Like, we need another Byron Murphy in the Vikings locker room, right? So, like, the word is the Vikings love the guy. That he's coming to town Sunday, Monday. The Vikings have their top 30 draft visits Sunday and Monday. That Byron Murphy, the Texas interior defensive lineman, is coming to town. What if the Vikings love him so much? And, hey, I sense they absolutely like him. What if they love him so much? You take him at 11, then whatever at 23, right? Whether that's Penix or you move up from 23 for Penix. I'm just saying they need to be prepared for all scenarios. So it makes sense, especially with the quarterbacks, to spend as much time, one-on-one time, as possible.
And the question is, because I think the scenario that you laid out, I don't think it's going to go through all five teams, but it's a good potential of like what could take place. And the real question is, are you willing to give up your 2025 first? Because I think if you are, I think you could probably pry one of those picks, three through five. If you're not, you know, teams are going to get one, other offers, and two might just say no. So I think that's the real unknown. The real question is this. Are you not only going to have to give up your top, your 11 and 23, but will you give up your 2025 first? If you will, I think you can almost certainly move up. If you won't, what you just painted, I think has a real opportunity. Or quite frankly, Denver just jumps you and they get, you know, three through five. And now they take a quarterback and you are potentially SOL.
I mean, I just don't know. I mean, unless they're putting Sertan or somebody on the table, like how exactly is Denver moving up? But I guess you can't dismiss it. It's a possibility.
Oh, Sertan might suppose. Be on the table.
I mean, I get it though, Judd. Like if you're Arizona, if you're the Chargers, if you're the Patriots, if you're Elliott Wolf, like you're looking at the Vikings and saying, you know what? Like maybe seven wins this year, maybe eight, but like seven. Okay, so that's pick what? 14 next year, 15?
Yep.
Yes, if you give us pick 14 in 2025, along with 11 and 23, heck yeah, come on up to three. We'll move back to 11. So I'm with you. It comes down to whether the Vikings will bend on the 2025 first-round pick.
Yeah, there's we got a couple talkers kind of in this realm today on Purple Daily. So,
Scooby definitely has a good boy.
Definitely has
He's
some
like, move up, move up.
He's here.
He's a big Drake May fan after I told him yesterday. Yeah. I spent some time with, well, your guy Booney, right? I was with Boone. Yeah. So I was catching up with John Michael Schmitz, who's in town for a few weeks, the former Gopher Center, the New York Giants Center. And while at that workout, I ran into Spencer Rowland from Apple Valley High School, starting right tackle, North Carolina Tar Heels. So add him to the list, by the way. He'll be a local visitor, but he will visit the Vikings Sunday and Monday. Spencer Rowland. So I caught up with Spencer about his pre-draft process, but hey, I had to ask him about Drake May. He gushed about Drake May, the person, the player. So I told Scooby, right? Like late last night, I've got nobody to talk to. The house is sleeping. So we're catching up on the day. So I told Scooby all about Spencer Rowland and what he thinks of Drake May. So when Scooby heard Drake May, he started to go nuts.
He's in.
He's 100% in. Yeah. Hey, empty the scoop bag here in the last minute or two. What else you have in there, Dukes?
Well, also on the Wolves. So Glenn Taylor told me on Thursday that Cat is, quote, ahead of schedule. Okay. Now, there is no firm timetable, but I think about it with Joel Embiid set to come back. Doesn't sound like tonight or maybe tonight. Like Joel Embiid is on the cusp of coming back for the Sixers, and it may not have been the exact same knee procedure, but like Embiid, surgery on February 6th, back this week. So about 2 months, but he's had another knee procedure along the way, right? So it's not apples and apples, but Cat undergoes surgery on March 12th. Like, is it realistic to think he's back April 20th or 21st? I mean, the Wolves will open up the playoffs either that Saturday or Sunday, yeah. Or is it more realistic later on in the first round because of conditioning? What exactly heck does he look like? Hey, is the team clicking at a high level? They've looked pretty good outside of Sunday without Cat, right? Like, do you want to rush Cat back? But bottom line is Glenn told me that Cat is, quote, ahead of schedule coming back from the meniscus surgery. Okay. Pharrell Payne in the transfer portal. That's a tough one for Ben Johnson. Some coaches are coming to town this week to visit with him, including coaches from Nebraska, Indiana, and Texas. There's a few more. Then he'll actually whittle down a list. He'll take some visits after the Final Four. The money being thrown about, I wish I could verify, right? You hear the money, and then you're like, whoa, is that true or not? But the money being tossed around for Pharrell Payne is off the charts.
Wow. Like what do you mean? Like high six figures? Or he's not going to get seven figures, is he?
He's not getting seven figures, but okay. A healthy six figures. Yeah.
Okay. Interesting.
Which is still, to me, pretty nuts. Like, good player. But, and I get it. Like, there's a scarcity of quality big men, so I understand it. But still, like, when you're hearing, like, mid six figures, I'm like, whoa, okay, is Pharrell Payne truly worth that? But, like, it's cutthroat, and, you know, a program like Indiana, Mike Woodson is, you know, like, trying to save his job, and he's got all this money at his disposal. So that's what happens. You throw around a lot of money. That's where the Gophers are still painfully behind. I mean, they're doing better now than they were a year ago.
Mike Woodson's worth,
speaking to the rest of the Big Ten.
Cheap coil.
Can you do, like, if you're Mike Woodson, you've made a few million dollars coaching in your life in the NBA college, but can you wire a few bucks over to like an NIL fund, or is that strongly prohibited in the loose parameters?
I don't know. I mean, it's a free for all. I mean, it's probably illegal, but like, who's enforcing all this stuff? I will tell you the new thing is coaches are trying to get NIL language written into their deal. Like some sort of, hey, guarantee, like I need this much money on a yearly basis.
Or I can piece out of
my players to have a formidable roster. That I can tell you that coaches in the moment, we've seen all these coaching changes, right? Like USC's coach just jumped to SMU. There's some questions there, right?
Andy Enfield, Florida Gulf Coast guy, right?
I mean, I get it. Like, you know, one more bad year at USC, he probably gets fired, right? So like he was just being proactive, but. Like, did he get some sort of NIL?
This thing's in high school now, too.
At SMU.
There's money being thrown around for high school kids.
Well, and even DePaul. Like, Chris Holtmann had a bunch of money at Ohio State last year.
Yeah.
The word is, I can't believe this, but a few people have told me this. He's got as much or more money to spend at DePaul. I have no idea where DePaul is getting its money from.
Good. I'd like to see them good again. Go back to the days of Rod Strickland.
We can't get a dime for Gopher basketball.
Mark Aguirre.
Amazing.
Oh man.
So there, well, there he is. Darren Doogie Wolfson from the Five Eyewitness News Sports Department.
We'll talk on Thursday.
Sounds good. All right, buddy. There he is.
I'll be all right. See ya.
Great stuff from Doogs and from Scooby as well. And we'll speculate recklessly with Doogie on Thursday here. It's Minnesota Sports with Mackie and Judd.